We're not going to begin with poetry today. Those of you who were here yesterday, we learned our lesson there. I'd like to explain, for those of you who came only for that subject, that we're not going to talk about sex today yet either. Sorry to say. It's not the material here is ready to go. I just think that it's unfair, and some of the wiser people around here said too, that we do a disservice to be tossing lots of things out, really not leave adequate time for a discussion. And yesterday we had just a short period of time for the things we were trying to say about new forms in ministry. So I thought today if I would just take at the most 10 minutes of talking to you and then maybe recast some of the things we said yesterday and invite you to respond to this so we can have some of the good discussion and dialogue here that would be more helpful for all of us, including myself, I think this would be better. And then we'll launch into sexuality tomorrow, and if necessary, leave some time on Friday for discussing that also, so we have a couple of days on that. I hope that this would be agreeable with you. It is very easy in the effort to analyze problems, as we have been doing mostly in the first three sessions, to leave it all hanging up in the air. And that's why I would like to say again a few things about the way out of the dilemma that we're in today. We focused at the outset in saying that the struggle with operating with youth in the church, and this struggle being a mirror probably of many of the struggles that we are in today, rose out of the period of dynamic change that we are in. The business that everything is, not only that so many things are changing, but that everything is changing so fast. And we really don't have time to stop and take a look. And that the church has survived in such periods before, and it is certainly my confidence that it will survive again. Maybe not with all the forms that it has had or that we have been accustomed to, but no doubt at all that it has survived. And to start that note, I'd like to read you a translation of the early section of Colossians from a book called These Rebellious Paulers by Albert Vandenhuvel, who is the youth director of the World Council of Churches, and which I think is an excellent translation of this section. And it gives the focal point for where I think the hope lies, and then have us a chance to say something about the forms. He was trying to confront the people of his day who thought really that Christ wasn't enough, that Jesus Christ really didn't have enough to take care of all that was going on. He would satisfy certain dimensions of it, but his answer to them, St. Paul's, is, if you Christians in Colossae ask, who will be able to rescue you from that domain of darkness the people of your city talk about, and we were talking about it here today, or who could release you so that you can get back to God, or who could forgive you your sins, which, as they say in your city, keep us away from God? Well, my answer is God, who did that through no other power than Jesus of Nazareth. If you're looking for the image of God, it is Jesus. If you, with your mystery religions, want to learn who is the prince of all things, it is Jesus. If you're trying to find out who was the instrument of creation, it was Jesus. And as far as the visible and invisible things are concerned, and all that stuff about orders and thrones, sovereignties, authorities, and powers, let me answer you once and for all. The whole universe was created through Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ. Still looking for what there was before all other things existed? The answer is Jesus. Want to know whether there is a system in this universe that keeps things together? Jesus is that system. And Jesus is also the head of the church, which is his body. He, not some angel, is the origin of the church. He was also the first to return from the dead and is supreme in all things. Jesus alone, the pleroma of God, the fullness, the totality, the very nature of God, is not in your soul's little divine spot or in some angels between God and man. It is only to be seen and to be had in Jesus Christ. That's why we said the objective of the Christian ministry is to keep coming back to this in the lives of young people, to provide settings where this can become so. What are the ways that we get at this? Isn't this really just what Lutheranism has been doing anyway? Well, maybe so.
the goal for the kind of ministry that we've been talking about has been focused, as you heard me say, in equipping young people for fulfilling their vocation as Christians on earth. The base from which this strategy develops is in baptism, the baptismal claim of God upon the young person. In baptism, God creates a new humanity, a people of a new creation on earth whose life is committed to living and dying for the sake of the world. Christ's baptism calls youth to live according to a clean heart and a right spirit, which seeks the victory and lordship of Jesus Christ over all things. In him we find the exciting movement of the kingdom of God into our planet. Christ's mission is in this earth, and we know, and we of the new community of the baptized are committed to that mission. The communists are wrong, of course, when they claim Christ's mission is not beamed in this world. Careful now when you hear this. Our preoccupation is not with gaining heaven, but in bringing all men to awareness of his kingdom, which is already here in Jesus Christ. Ours is an exciting and challenging ministry in this world. We are saved for great purpose and privilege in this life. The new look allows no room for seeing our salvation merely in terms of making it to heaven. The new look begins within our own awareness of being saved for a special vocation in Christ's new life on earth. Christianity is by no means an escape from life. It demands a total offering of self to a life lived in and for the world. And if you want Bible passages for behind that, they're all available. This means that the new look in Christian youth ministry is committed to the calling and reclaiming of young people for living the life that is given to them in baptism. It means that he calls baptized Christians to a reckless giving of self, totally into the ministry of others. By losing our lives for his sake, we will possess the life which he gives. And our call is to give his offered life in this world. He will see to our getting his life in the next world. Now, I emphasize what this means. This calls for working with vigor to give young people man-sized challenges to dig into. Most groups of young people pulled together by congregations have caught on to the clean up the property, repair the torn hymnals bit. This has been done. This has to be done too. But let's not pretend that this is the way to involve or challenge youth in an aggressive ministry to their world. As I implied yesterday, two doors are open for ready and willing youth and adults. One, challenging youth with an honest and rightful place as Christians in the affairs and life of the parish. Two, leading youth to take an honest and rightful place as Christians in the affairs and life of the community and area in which they live. The first step in this is recognizing the spirit by whom Christians make their way in this life. This way up is the way of gathering young people in honest wrestling with God in word and sacrament. What we were saying yesterday, I wanted to say it again. The way up needs more than youth and adults learning to know their Bibles. It needs youth and adults sitting in honest struggle, looking for the power of the Spirit to call them out for bold witness in their world. These are not necessarily the same thing. The new look approaches the Word of God in reckless anticipation. This means gathering in expectation of the frightening and consuming fire of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that drove Christ out into the wilderness to be tempted and led him through the bloody sweat of Gethsemane and in meek and deliberate obedience to the way of the cross. We're not talking about simple resources which your parish calls into play like a policeman using water hoses or tear gas to get a job done. When we speak of the word and sacrament, we mean calling upon the very power of the living God. It is a fearful thing to be in his presence, more fearful than the bar. He can both destroy you and make you alive. It should be downright dangerous to let someone go to a Christian youth meeting. There ought to be parents fearful of letting their kids go because lives are being changed. If we are to offer youth to the spirit they need, we are in need of a movement back to honest digging in the scriptures, to prayer for the world and its people, to creative and gripping worship. God does deserve our best, you know, and to responsible action towards the needs of people. All of these are hard work. Honest Bible study, for instance, is tough going. I frankly know about 5 people in the whole Missouri Synod that can do a job of it with young people. If you give your best, there may still be some who say it's dull, but perhaps only a small remnant will remain for a hard trial. And this is precisely the approach that we are trying to follow. A small, committed core group that can be the yeast for the whole loaf. I believe we are in desperately need of small groups of gung-ho young people and adults digging their way into the engaging power of His Word. And our parishes need such a group if it is to pack any punch in its contribution to parish and community life. Now, having said that again, let me say 8 things that I think are implications for the planning for this kind of a ministry, and then review some of the things I said yesterday and ask you to respond. One of the things that we've said about the principle involved, was that the ministry should be an expression of the body of Christ, and therefore it should not be exclusive. If it is all young people or if it is all adults, this is going to be destructive. But it is youth and adults and grandparents and whoever else is involved, each making their contribution. This is the principle. The objectives, we said, were to provide settings where youth can be honest, to provide settings where it is shared that God is real and He comes to us in Jesus Christ, where it is shared in ways that youth can grab, we said. And thirdly, to provide settings where young people are strengthened in their struggle and at the same time booted, kicked out into the world for which they were made. Implications for planning in this kind of a ministry would be these. The focus would be not simply on knowledge gaining, which is the traditional approach, but in providing experiences through which children and adults, youth can see and experience a loving relationship with the Father and with each other. Secondly, the focus will be on persons within the settings where their daily life with the Father is lived. Father in caps, obviously. Family, school, business, friendship circles, church group life, Sunday worship, wherever it may be. Rather than assume that you can always create a new kind of a setting where a ministry will take place, that the focus is on those settings that already exist, rather than to concoct a new one. This is one of the disadvantages in the Bible camp retreat and all the other approaches. It does work, but it has disadvantages if it isn't geared towards the settings that already exist. Thirdly, focus will be on the small group life, where individuals can have opportunities to express themselves as they struggle to live in a forgiven relationship with their Father and in forgiving relationships with each other. That's why this whole mass of the group here is undoubtedly not the most effective way to even tackle this question. Thirdly, content of the ministry, or what's happening in the ministry, will be understood broadly as the whole range of pattern activity provided by the parish, by families, and by neighboring parish designed to serve youth and adults, rather than thinking of it as materials that come out. You know, we're going to do something, we think of it in terms of a content or a doctrine, rather than the whole of the life that is lived within the parish or in the family. Sixth, the content and pattern of the teaching experiences will be patterned after the shape of our Lord's own life, offered in and for the world, namely, a life that is responsive to people in their situation. For instance, for those who do not see their way to come, what the church is doing, the church has to go. Not all teaching will be centered in the church. The church must find ways to take its ministry into settings where men now spend their day, to meet them in the marketplace. The church comes as one who serves, and not only as one who sits and waits for people to come. There are a number of illustrations of this of what's going on already, and the illustration I used about our trying to get into the high school, not with groups of young people, but to stir up a ministry within the high school would be an example of this. 7. The church will recognize the ecumenical nature of daily life and seek patterns of parish expression which will not keep Christians from one another, but provide the means for expressing the unity which they have in Jesus Christ. Just a simple fact, youth and most of our adults live ecumenically, even if they don't necessarily profess ecumenically, and of course I think they do that too. certainly in the creed. Most of our marriages in the Missouri Synod, of course, are ecumenical. And most of our families are, of course. And the high school is ecumenical. And to pretend that because at the church there's only one group type represented, that kids are living a Lutheran life, is really not very sharp or accurate. They live ecumenically, and equipping them for that living is one of the tasks. And one of the tasks for equipping them is to provide a setting or a ministry that is in itself ecumenical. 8. The Christian congregation in one sector of the metropolis, assuming that rural means now only how far you are away from metropolis in our world, will recognize its relationship to the Christian churches as part of one body which seeks to serve the complicated growing needs of the metropolis. In other words, churches will not operate as self-contained ministries. A decent ministry among young people just has, as of its very nature, the relationship to the other churches around it, and beginning with the other churches of the same denomination, or the other Lutherans, the other groups of the one synod to begin with, to be sure, but the other Lutherans as well. I think these implications for planning are involved in a creative ministry. Remember yesterday I said that the avenues for this ministry are much broader than talking about getting little groups together. We talked about the ministry that with young people that is worship, that is preaching, that is teaching, that is counseling, that is through the family, that is through the community, that is through their social life, relationship to other people, and that is through the kinds of groups that get together. In other words, we're saying there is a broad spectrum of ministries possible. And it is our goal, if I'm talking frankly from a national office, to provide local parishes with as many options as possible, rather than, you know, mailing out the package program, which, in our opinion, just doesn't work. Resources for packaging your own program is what we'd like to provide. For a one-to-one ministry, for that ministry back in the family, for group ministries, hopefully much more than one little Walker League or one little Luther League, and for intergroup ministries, intercommunity, or whatever it may be, or interchurch ministries. These options we would like to offer. Maybe have some reaction on what I would like to say for today. Would you go in any direction that you like, please?
You asked at the very beginning there to pay particular heed to one sentence you had about not showing the way to heaven for everyone. Would you reread that here?
All right. Here it was. I wanted you to pay close attention to listening to it. Our preoccupation is not with gaining heaven, but bringing all men to awareness of his kingdom, which is already here. Our preoccupation is the word I was wrong about.
My reaction is that most of our young people get the idea that Jesus died on the cross, and therefore we go to heaven. And that's the scope of their theological outlook. What happens in between any relationship to him and that seems to be, well, just sort of some sustaining process till that happens. This seems to be, you know, underplaying heaven, which of course it is not, but it's to recognize that when he says you got life, you've got it now. That's what baptism is about. And this in between, I guess that's why I get sort of rankled about, you know, I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. Earth is a desert here, which God made, and here we go. Heaven is my home. But I know what they mean, not for sure. That really happens to rankle.
Or the youth are the church of the future.
Yeah, right. In other words, it's somewhere coming down the pipe. But our whole this is Omaha Wolf was here 2 weeks ago, his line. They were always in preparation for something. We are pre-kindergarten, pre-school, pre-confirmation, pre-high school, pre-college, pre-med, pre-marital, pre-natal. We're always going, we wish someday something would happen. I think it's pre-mortal or something. You're going to die, right? We have a terrible preparatory complex. And we're saying that the youth ministry is, the dish, as it prepares for anything and everything, is right now with them in their life. But anybody, in any direction at all, you don't have to be tied down to what.
Do you have any specific place where this, some of these things that you ventured out here are being done? Do you have any model? You don't have to give names and places.
No. There are many places where some of these things are being done. Many of the things that I've say I'm pulling together, or I don't know if any one place where these things are happening. I would think almost everything that I say is something that I learned from parishes or from people who have been in parishes, you know, other people who have observed parishes. So there's really very little concoction involved here. Some of these grow out of the inner city pattern, somewhat, where, let's face it, all the kinds of nice little stuff that we have prepared just, you know, couldn't possibly work. It was in sheer desperation of a new kind of a ministry. Because the approach to this inner city in the past was always focused on the delinquent, which is, even in the inner city, obviously, a small percentage. It was when the churches who decided to stay began to formulate ministries among young people who are not, you know, the way out delinquent, or not the big sharp kid that's going to move out of the inner city real fast, that they began to form some of these new approaches into the community life. But there are other parishes, of course, that are doing the same thing. I illustrate from one that has developed, that has moved in the area of books. Just as a small group reading. Almost like this reading circle here, where they plow into the literature field that's being thrown at them in the high school. I don't know how many of you take time to check the high school lit reading lists. They're pretty formidable today, you know. I think I said to somebody yesterday, if I were starting a ministry in a parish and we're going to be conscious of the youth, I would not start with them, but if I were going to be working with them, I'd want to get acquainted with the high school, and I'd start with the guidance person, the athletic coach, and either the lit, or as corrected, or the drama person. Depending if drama is effective, I'd start with a drama person at that high school, but the lit person, the literature, English literature person. These are the ones that tend to have the most influence on young people in the high school, shaping their thinking. Yeah, well, this was a reaction to this. If I'm going to be reading Catherine Arrive, if I'm going to be reading whatever else it is on these lists, and some of these are very formidable, they were sitting down and talking about it. And the group met only when they all had read it. There weren't any officers or anything like this. And that group became the means for ministering to this particular group of people. In that same parish, there were other kinds of ministries. I know one group that we heard about last week that's doing some real, because it's a Lutheran, real crackerjack stuff in terms of drama. Chancel. And I think this gentleman said they did 3 a year. So this kept them really involved for the whole time. And it wasn't just, you know, putting on a play, but it was something that added to the whole life and worship and really dealt with issues that made the cast really grow. I think they were doing Christ in the Concrete City and a number of other things, which is no small assignment for a parish group. Yeah.
You suggested providing a setting in which they could be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suggestions in such a setting? That's pretty difficult.
Yes, the word I used each time, at least I tried to use, was this word. Settings. In other words, I don't think that any one setting would work for all young people or by any, you know, at one time. The goal has to be that there should be repeated opportunities, some of these structured and some not, where this can happen. I learned as much as I suppose I've ever learned about young people, next from Dr. Strumman in his studies, was through being able, for some odd reason, to keep my mouth shut. When I drove my confirmands home from confirmation class in that desert parish I had, they were being honest and talking, not to me, but to each other. And the fact that I wasn't trying to move in on them and all the rest of the stuff, I learned, and I think they built a relationship to me that this was in my opinion, an unstructured setting for honesty. And eventually I got involved in the ministry of this place. But it means, I suppose, primarily the attitude of the adults who work with it. In the seminar that's been here this week, we're trying to struggle with this. How does the pastor, for one, who's not the only man and person involved in the ministry, how does he get rid of his clerical collar without having, you know, to take it off? The desk, for instance, seems to be a more formidable obstacle to this. And that little diploma on the wall. Now, that doesn't mean everyone has it there, but that, to be aware of that as an obstacle for coming loose. Or an example of how this has happened, I suppose I can use the deans who are here, Dr. Phil Dean and his wife, Lola, who have just had a group of 8 to 10 kids been coming to their home once a week. And high, wide, or handsome, that's it. As far as I know, they don't have any big, fat, structured program. It's a place where the kids can go, and they really can look, and they have a relationship with the pastor. I'm not trying to say that the pastor should be outside of the pastor. It would be great if we could be right in the midst of it, but I think in many instances it will. But I suppose it really grows out of the adult's attitude towards the kids and towards the kind of life that they live. Our awareness of their struggle and yet recognizing them for what they are, the adolescents.
I feel that the adults in the parish do need help, but it seems to be such a hard area to get help because none of our young people are going into this ministry. Why is that?
Yes. Well, and they have had teachers at their parish, too. Over the long run, right, there aren't many who are going into it. Well, it's not a recognized form of the ministry. We still take it as an adjunct to other forms of ministry, and I suppose that's one thing to do with it. And it really doesn't have a lot of security built into it, you know, because you're probably not going to stay in it. Only some foolish people say it. We're wrong. Dr. Jones and I are the deans and the present moment of Lutheranism, if I can say this. So the security for the lay person is really not very great, I guess. You do this and you're going to be doing something else later on. That has something to do with it. And maybe the difficulty, because if you get into this new parish, you're probably going to be in trouble. The deans are. The deans are. Can I say that?
Yeah. And also, you never have an answer, do you? I mean, the minute you think you've got something that's working, it didn't work anymore.
And this is exactly what I was trying to say, that the flexibility, that this is what's going to happen with the kids that the deans have been working there, very well may not work with the next gang. And the flexibility of their operating in another way is going to be very important. And you have to be given to this kind of a ministry, too. And not a lot of people are. Especially if you get down the pipe a little bit. You know, this is sort of the stuff that age 19, 23, or the 23 or 25 you do. And maybe these are just ideas that I have on it. Nor have we had an aggressive recruitment program of any kind. I guess we've been sort of fearful of what we might turn up.
Well, I think this is true of other churches besides Lutheran. We live in a community where practically every church has a youth director. And the turnovers, you just get one that's doing any good and you lose them. You know, this is, there must be a great need for them.
Most of them that I have talked to personally get wrecked by parents. And they just, I guess they don't take the gap.
Well, isn't this true in teaching, though? I mean,
I don't think our parochial school teachers are that bothered, if I can use that illustration. I know our youth leader in our parish would get much more gap than the parochial school teachers ever.
Were you, when you were talking about providing settings in schools, thinking about public schools?
Yes. Well, no, when I say settings in public school, I don't mean groups, if that's what you mean, because I don't think...
Oh, this is what I was talking about,
not
because
I
think this would lead to some rules which would kill the opportunity for individual teachers to relate their subject matter to God. I think people, if they're conscious of it, have many opportunities right in their teaching.
My concern here is that the church isn't equipping them for that task. in Portland not long ago, they pulled a whole gang of public school teachers together, Lutheran public school teachers together. And they began to ask me, oh, what is your calling? Most of them said, go to church on Sunday, have family devotions, and contribute to the parish. Now this is a fact. This is a fact that most of some 150, if I recall the figure, Lutheran public school teachers, high school teachers, didn't know and weren't able to say what their calling was. Now by that I'm not saying I'm going out and grab people for the Lutheran church, but their life. My approach in this ministry that I was talking about, we want to help the parishes minister to the people who are already in the place where a massive amount of ministry should be taking place.
Very good. I happen to teach biology in public.
Great.
School. This is why I wrestle with this problem, because you get into things of evolution and changes here. And these kids learn things in their homes and they learn things in their church. And they build a philosophy for life, and this all has to be one package. You don't learn something about biology and nature and their body and how they treat it over here, and keep this separate from what they should learn about it at church and what they learn about it at home. It's relative to, this business, we said we weren't going to talk about sex, but this is the best example I can think of to get at what I mean.
Right.
For instance, we teach them all about hormones and the effect that this has on the body. And before we ever talk about human beings, we talk about chickens and animals. And we point out these very same hormones are human beings. And they're natural there. They are intended to give us certain desires which are intended to be controlled. This is the difference between man and these animals. And the choice is up to us. And I have no fear in telling these kids that this choice is yours, and if you insist on abusing it, God will let you go to hell. If that's your choice. I mean, if you just want to do it this way. But you have a choice, you have a mind, and you better not ruin your life, because you're going to be involved with these desires, and it's up to you to control them. And I can talk to them this way, and this is what I was concerned about. If we tried to organize groups, somebody's going to stamp on us, and they're going to say to me, don't you mention a word about God down there, and I would resent that terribly.
Just the opposite of what our approach would be.
Very good.
And by the way, when we get into sexuality, it won't only be that we're concerned about what's going to happen if you abuse it. How many places do you use it when you're not married? This is what I need kids
right.
Okay? Oh, here.
Could you expand a little bit more on what you mean when you talk about involving youth in the total life of the parish? I think you referred to New Creation, New Generation, where they talked about the bookbinders and what have you, and we don't want them to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the drama group that is working hard to put on 3 dramas a year. Is this one of your concepts, anyhow, of involving them in the total life of the parish?
Well, whatever the parish is like, I think they should be a reasonable and active and respected part of it. And that doesn't mean every young person gets in on every act. I think we have treated them often as second-class citizens. All right, a building program going on. And who plans the building program? People who are mostly over age 50, who will not be around when the parish buildings are going to be have grown up on an earlier form of ministry, and who have difficulty really thinking through the vision. Now, I don't mean to say, therefore, bring in a 15-year-old, or better yet, a 7 or 18-year-old kid, and he's got this vision. But it seems to me that there's some, in many parishes, if not in most, sharp kids responsibly involved, and maybe you have to just say with both or something like that, being part of that and asking them, what are these things? Or if they don't have the stuff, to be sensitive that you are thinking about them because they are physically present and involved. That would be one aspect of it. Now, again, in other words, I'm getting past it. There's a lot of token stuff going on, not only in relation, but it is, too. We have a kid sit in on the parish planning program. Well, in our parish, that thing is so doggone pre-cut and dry that, there's really nothing involved in that. I mean, the creative involved development of things that are going on in the parish. The form of a mission program, not only to go out and knock on a door. What is the form? Let the kids be part of it, responsibly part of it. And if it means a 6-week study program in depth in the scriptures first, or in the New Testament to find out what forms they use, or a book of Acts or something, well then that's part of it too, with the kids involved. Whatever it may be. The whole planning of the sewer, I heard from the Mr. Allen get some very sharp ideas about a stewardship program. I'd be inclined to let some of those kids sit on a parish stewardship meeting.
hope in saying this, though, I don't act like I'm worshiping at their shrine. I don't. They are, I said to her, they're adolescents. And for, you know, for God's sake, don't rob them of being that. But don't make them anything less than that. In many other places, they are participating responsibly in many things. They're still flipping 18-year-olds to Vietnam, deciding when to pull the trigger or not, when to be this and not. And, you know, and we treat in this other place as if they're truly infants. And I think we rob the church of some of its spontaneity and some of its faults through which it ought to grow. Honest faults, you know, not just the fault. Okay. You know?
I might say one thing. In working with these kids for this last year, one of the things that I woke my husband up with a great thought this morning came to me. I think one of the main things that they have told us that we didn't realize when we started, and this was that we really like teenagers. And we feel that they have a lot of good in them. And I think a lot of people are scared out of working with teenagers because they really are frightened of them. And they are not an overwhelming bad group of kids. I think if you just can convey this basic life to them and they know that you trust them, it really, this is 90% of the battle. And you work from there.
Pastors, including young pastors, a real, I thought about a guy who was out 2 years out of the set. I'm scared to death. Mm-hmm. It fears a large segment of the pastoral approach. And I'm very sorry about this, because we probably have all contributed to it. My office, I'm sure, as well as anybody's. And certainly the weekly publications about them, that made us, is really focused on this up. And we don't recognize that they are human beings, and that they will respond to love. They will respond to love.
And they really are looking for help so many times. Our neighbors.
Anyone else? Come to me. And I think that they are really, that's really great, set up the options of the approaches in our time. And I just had come in, so I'm really unfair to build about this. I just wanted to add to it. One of our problems is that we've lost the meaning of the wrath of God. And that the alternative to this was, you know, some namby-pamby approach to God. I wonder if there isn't another dimension. I think there are people that don't really understand what the wrath of God is about. Most people that I come into contact with tend to live under the wrath of God. And most of these people that I know are Christian. I mean, are within the Christian church. But what I see as much missing is not the namby-pamby stuff or the wrath of God, but the gospel. The meaning of what it means to be alive in Jesus Christ in this world. And I think they're looking for affirmations of this. Of people who know how to affirm themselves, not because they are good, but because Jesus Christ is good in them, in the world. And the kids see us crouching and cringing so often, or being namby-pamby, that they're looking around for a good, honest expression of what it means to be Christian in the midst of a crumbling world. And I think this is why when they respond, when they find somebody like this, boom, they go after them. And when they find cheap imitations, often they're tricked into it. You know, and this is where the rah-rah stuff comes. You get a shapely biology teacher, you know, and there isn't anything else around to really attract them in some depth. I go running after the babe. Or a good-looking coach. Imitations are around. But, boy, you can't beat the real stuff. And this affirming nature of the world under God through Jesus Christ is what I think they're looking for. Boy, that, you can't beat it. That's exciting stuff. Because then you march right into the science field. You know, who crowds in a corner? Let's go. God's at work.
Right.
Off the path, you know? Like, this is what they're looking for. And it's their nature to look for. And that doesn't mean we all have to be that way. Dare not let the teenagers control us. Of course not. But they have a right to that affirmation, I think. And some of us better give it. And this is where I think the layman comes in.
Man,
I think you'll see it from the layman. Sure.
My point was that there is either the wrath of God, and this is the most horrible thing, or this other thing we have in the gospel.
Oh, I see. All right.
That was my point.
I understand.
That if we miss it here, this is all we've got left.
Good.
We don't have any rah-rah, namby-pamby stuff. There is no such thing.
I understand. No. That's good. And I just finished my start. But at least it gave me a chance to say it.
I had a chance for 400.
Anyone else? Well, I think we'll let you get some of your own coffee then. And those of you who are interested, we'll talk about sexuality tomorrow. Thank you all.
I wanted to say, but I was afraid to. The thing that I